trying to show here was this came from the Long Beach CD in the late 90s. My wife and I actually went to California, among other reasons, for her to go to this program. And the music is actually quite lively. And,
right.
And let's say that all this sort of Daya stuff, all this Everclear stuff, it's just so bland, so New Agey. So now I'm agreeing with you if you think that.
Right.
To me, this stuff is crap.
Yeah.
But this one song sort of stands out. Like this is a guy who could perform it at a local pub and have the punters up and dancing, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just, you know, completely out of sync with all the other music that I've seen out of Alain Vital the last 10, 15 years.
And here we go. Do we have any information on this track, Paddy?
Yeah, the guy's called Tim Haynes. Lexi told me that on X-Premier Forum.
Right.
And you can download little clips of his and little bits of music.
Right.
From his website. And he obviously, you know, is a successful minor performer.
Right.
Now, of course, in 1982, came the big shutdown, the termination of the Divine Light Mission, the beginning of Alain Vital. And it's easy to forget because, you know, the young Prem Rawat was so into technology that he never actually had an education. And so Alain Vital and vitalism, you know, what was his name there? Bergson's old philosophy of the 19th century, and the energy that is keeping you alive deep within inside, they fit really well. Unfortunately, of course, it doesn't actually work that way scientifically or even philosophically these days, but what the hell? Anyway, during the 80s and 90s, the music got pretty flabby. The younger musicians obviously ran out of inspiration. And later, of course, in the 90s, Daya took over from Kim O'Leary in the singing department, and I'm afraid that, you know, if it was my daughter, I'd have her up on stage too, but I don't think she's really got what it takes. But in about 86, 96 I mean, sorry, my wife and I went to California, she went to Long Beach, and I actually went to Swami's, where I saw the remains of another guru. What's his name now? The autobiography of a yogi, Yogananda, that's right. He's still got temples scattered across California, and one's at a wonderful surfing beach. Anyway, there's a song that I really enjoyed, because it's bouncy, it's quirky, it's dancey. Unlike most of the songs I liked in Divine Light Mission, which tended to be Kim O'Leary ballads of yearning and fear that she'd lose the love of the Lord, etc., etc. So here's this song here, I can't remember who it's by.
Touch my heart and the magic begins. You bring a sparkle to the song that I sing. When I first met you, oh Lord, I was a beggar, but now I feel like a king, so strong. How could I go wrong? You spin the wheel and the game begins. When I first met you, Lord, I was a beggar, but look at me now. I feel like a king.
I can walk on water, throw my arms around the sun. But the love I feel for you is all I really want.
You make me feel like a king, like I could do most anything. The joy that you bring is the song that I sing. Ooh yeah, ooh yeah, ooh yeah. You win, I lose my pain and my blues. Spin the wheel and the magic begins. You
fortune. Oh, Lord, Lord, I was a beggar, but now I feel like a king.
I can walk on water.
Oh, yeah.
Throw my arms around the sun.
Make me feel so good.
What the love I feel for you.
Give me everything.
It's all I really want.
I feel like a king.
I can walk on water.
You've lost me there, Paddy, I must admit. I almost like that track even less than the Rich Neil, but we so we can beg to differ on this one.
Well, don't forget, if you've got to listen to all the other tracks on that CD and on the recently released over the last 10 years, Elandertale music,
right,
to put it into perspective. You know what I mean?
Right. Are they still putting out music?
Yeah, sure.
I dread to think what it's like.
Well, I think if you go to either www.eversound.com or maybe it's called www.everclear.com, I can't remember, you'll find out there's a whole host of these premier musicians putting out music that truly is stultifyingly bland.
You know? Right.
You have, what's that wonderful expression? You have no idea.
Yeah. Why am I not tempted to go there at all? All right. Well, the next one is, well, the greatest composer of all. Well, he wrote the lyrics.
Well, so they say, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, we did have time to play the full Artie, a quarter of an hour or so.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I loved Artie. You know what I mean? I was perfectly happy to sing Artie every night of my life if at the time. This is just a live recording from a tape of some event somewhere. But if this doesn't bring back memories for a premier, nothing will. The next premier, nothing will.
No, and I must admit, I would never say it was my favourite music around, but it never irritated me like Rich Neil did and some of the other stuff that we've played. I don't know exactly why, but maybe in some ways it felt like there was a little bit more space just to go into your own experience while you were from the good side of what that was all about.
Yeah, sure, I can go along with that.
I don't think we'll need any explanation to any ex-premiers listening. If there are any people who are listening into this show that's running a little bit later than we'd planned because it's a little bit longer and they're thinking, what the hell is going on with Hamzen's show this week? And they know nothing about the ex-cult stuff that comes before the normal show, apologies, and I hope you're not finding it too difficult. Maybe those of you that don't know, I'll do some explanation sometime, I think. Here we go, the end of Artie.
Righto, to finish off, we certainly don't have time for Artie, but hey, let's go for the end section, which apparently the words were written by the young prodigy himself. I always liked the sound of it, Twameva. Here it is. I'm not sure, I think this is just some actual tape I found in a box somewhere, possibly from a program.
Why, my mother, and you are my father. You are my brother, and you are my friend. You are riches, you are wisdom. You are my all, my Lord to me. You are my all, you are my all, you are my all, my Lord to me. Kumaraji, my life is within you, from you I was born. And to you now I go. Forever I'm yours, my longing is endless. This heart of mine aches to be one with you. Forever I'm yours, my longing is endless. This heart of mine aches to be one with you. Wherever I go, your face is before me. Your golden love melts all my troubles away. I give you my heart, for in you it will mellow. Maharaji, my Lord, my life is your play. I give you my heart, for in you it will mellow. Maharaji, my Lord, my life is your play. O wondrous Lord, my Guru Maharaji, your grace is a river that flows on and on. You fill my heart with your love overflowing. Please let me come home, find my rest at your feet. You fill my heart with your love overflowing. Please let me come home, find my rest at your feet. The Lord is the maker of all things created. He keeps them and brings them all home to His word. The Lord's the superior power in person. I bow down before such a wonderful.
Well, Paddy, that actually surprised me a little bit. I actually, how would I describe the feelings that I'm getting coming up at the moment?
Out of arty?
Yeah, it's nothing to do, it's actually nothing to do with DLM, Raji. It's about why I was there in the first place, and in a way linking up with that yearning that you were talking about right at the start with Van Morrison. And when you go into that, I always have a problem with language when I'm talking about those kind of experiences. But, and in a way, it just makes me very sad, because I think of why we were all there. All of us were there for this. And apologies for the emotion, folks, but this is coming out quite strong internally for me at the moment. I just feel such a waste of potential.
Hey, listen.
And
Well, you're supposed to. I mean, here we have a couple of tens of thousands of adolescent youth in the 60s, at the end of the 60s and the early 70s, living on from those counterculture dreams that obviously were failing even then, and moving on into the hopes, the aspirations of realizing life and changing the planet for the best. And we know how it's ended up. You know, obviously, unhappiness, sadness, they're the appropriate emotions. Now, I'm laughing because I've been through this for so long over so many years. And this morning, I've just come out of the surf before we started chatting, and I'm naturally an up guy. Hey, this is a desolation row, mate. This is life wasted. This is, you know, wrist-slitting stuff, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there. I'm not actually coming quite from that angle, because it's not just in terms of, like, the waste from then, but that experience, I don't feel any separation from that experience now. And I'm not talking specifically in terms of knowledge, meditation techniques, spirituality. It comes back to that soul thing that I was saying about the music before, and seeing people that I know now, young people who are not even on the surface into spirituality and all of that, and yet it's the one thing that I've been able to find, certainly in the crew that I know and hang around with, mates that I've got now, completely bridge the generations, because actually they understand that stuff as well. But they're doing things with it. They're not just living some through other people, like we were through Meraji on some level, and through the structures. They're actually taking responsibility for it themselves, and I think it's not just so much the loss from then, but maybe it's not that far from what you were saying, and maybe that's just maybe there's still too much of the old hippie in me that would like to transform the planet and everybody could be happy, or at least going that route. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, I'm afraid, in some ways, you know, you could call me a skeptic. I'm just satisfied that there are more people alive on the planet today living in comfort and living without want, hunger, or fear than there ever have been. It's a terrible shame to me that there are still so many people who aren't experiencing that, who are actually in want, hunger, and fear. But I spent enough time in my life in angst, and I'm just selfishly now going to live the rest of my life, hopefully, in the knowledge that, hey, it's better than it ever has been, and let's hope it continues that way.
And I can relate to that. I mean, I think certainly I'm not as strong down the route that I've been talking about for the last couple of minutes as I used to be, but I also see, and I've had a number of discussions with my mates about this recently, that, yeah, I mean, that side of it, in terms of, like, pure hunger, violence that so many people live through, etc., 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 is still absolutely appalling on the same level. But it's also that, well, certainly living out here in suburbia, I just see so many people who, yeah, they're comfortable, but it's almost like they're sleepwalking. They don't actually get any real pleasure from their lives. That they're just living by numbers. They're going into work, they're doing their 9-to-5, they come home in a relationship which is like, well, it's been going on for 20 years, they don't really give a monkeys, half of them are having affairs, maybe, whatever. It's from that angle as well that, and I've got two or three, and certainly over here at the moment, there's a sort of psychedelic revival going on, and that's from a soul level thing. And I know a lot of people who've never been interested in spirituality who are starting to do yoga, they're starting to do meditation in a much more detached way than we did. But it's exactly that same, that they see that life, they see, and the potential for earning money and having a comfortable life now, certainly in Britain, is way higher than it's ever been. And on some level, a number of them are just saying, well, actually, I don't think I want that. That's not actually what I want from my life. When I'm looking back at my life at the end of it, I want something more. Now, they don't get sucked into the whole guru thing, and if they get a whiff of cult around that stuff, they're out like a rocket. But that kind of territory, really. Sorry, I'm probably rabbiting on here, and I think it was the arty that brought up a lot of boom boom.
Yeah. Well, you know, Hamzan, I've got to say that I think you should be talking to more of the people at the bus stop in your suburbs. I think you should be looking in their eyes and relating to them directly without your preconceptions, because I know lots and lots of ordinary folk. You know, over the last 10 or 15 years, I've met more and more of them, and I don't see that your perception is correct. They're fine, they're decent, they're living their lives in their own way, they're having their own joys, their own sorrows, and if that includes affairs, well, so be it. Human beings always had affairs, you know. This idea that somehow only the people who were, you know, different are somehow experiencing life in its fullness, I think that's just elitist crap. Sure, there are a lot of people out there who are boring. That's okay. You know, that's the way they are. They like simple pleasures, and many of them are consumers. Hey, consumerism, everyone's a consumerist. Given the possibilities, everyone will enjoy their lives more and more on a material level. That doesn't take away their family's strengths, their loves, their intergenerational, you know, happiness, their, you know, their friends and their acquaintances. I'm sorry, mate, but at least from my perspective, people are good, they're fine, and they're living fine, happy lives.
Well, just to correct you on one comment you made just now, I have a lot of contact with people. I'm living right out in suburbia, and it's impossible not to have contact, and it's exactly why I have that contact that I express that emotion, and it's exactly why so many of the younger people that I know I get on with so well, because they see it, and I'm not talking young, we're talking like most of my mates are about 30, 33, around that territory, and they're not on some millennium thing, they've not got some emotional instability, they genuinely, I think of another older mate of mine, who's been a serious musician all of his life, and he's written a track. And there's a classic line, if I can remember it, suburbia where everybody's happy, and it's completely like, I know exactly what he's talking about. It's maybe it's different out in Australia. Maybe if you came over to East London, you see that it's not so much a sort of elitist arrogance. And I don't dispute there might be a bit of that in me. But I see a lot of people who are really like bored with this, and that, yeah, they've got their emotions. About the only thing that keeps them going are their families. Most of them don't have what I would call really good friends. Maybe this is just an East End of London thing. I've really got no idea, but it's definitely my experience.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I can't disagree with that. I don't know the people you know. I don't know the society in which you live. I can just say what I see, you know, what I feel, and the people I know. And, hey, you know, we're probably both right.
Possibly are. And why don't we now go then into the last track, which is, how should we say it? A touch different from what has come before.
Yeah, and
could you give us a little bit of background on that? I mean, you do talk about it a little bit on the pre-recorded bit, but...
Well, it comes from a CD called Come On Back by a singer called Jimmy Dale Gilmore. He's very famous in a very small, alt-country sort of way. He's put out quite a few CDs, and he spent quite a long time in Divine Light Mission. That's all I know about him. And his music, you know, hey, it's never going to get a mass audience, I don't think. And I think if you played it at one of your house parties or whatever on earth those things are, I have no idea. I imagine that the response would not be very good. But here it is anyway. He moved on, I moved on, you moved on, and isn't it good?
Indeed.
Thanks, Hamzan, if you end up playing this. I start out pretty damn nervous, but I thought it would be better to just go with the first thoughts, no editing, just see what happens when you open your mouth. It's been 25 years since I gave that thing, so I'm pretty inexperienced. And we're going to finish with one song from a guy who apparently was a premier back in Colorado in the 70s. And in a sense, he's probably the most successful premier musician that I know of. Of course, there may well be many others. His name is Gilmore, actually, and he's one of his albums is called More of a Legend Than a Band, and it's about a band he was in called the Flatlanders. He's weird, he's Texas, he's country and western, and he's Vedanta. Surely he's the only man who's ever written or recorded a song called Bhagavan Decreed on a country and western album. And here's a song about moving on, which apparently he did, I did. It's worked out well for me. I feel like a king most of the time. And while I don't decry my years in DLM, I'm shocked and disgusted by the way the organisation's changed over the last 25 years. But hey, it's a great life here in Australia. All the best to everybody.
Big eight-wheeler rolling down the track means your true loving daddy ain't coming back, and I'm moving on. I'll soon be gone. You were flying too high from my little old sky, and I'm moving on. That big loud whistle as the blue and blue said hello to the Southland, we're coming to you, and we're moving on. Oh, hear my song. You had to laugh on me, so I set you free, and I'm moving on. Mr. Fireman, won't you please listen to me, 'cause I got a pretty mama in Tennessee. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. So shovel the coal, let this rattle and roll, and keep moving on. Throttle in hand, this rattle is the fastest in the southern land. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. You're gonna ease my mind, put me there on time, and keep rolling on. Well, I've told you, baby, from time to time, but you just wouldn't listen or pay me no mind, and I'm moving on, I'm rolling on. You've broken your vow, and it's all over now. Baby, when you had your play, you're gonna want your daddy, but your daddy will say, keep moving on. You stayed away too long. I'm through with you, too bad you're blue, so keep moving on.
I'd have to say, yeah, in general, country and western music doesn't get played out at the dudes that I go to that often. But
all right, great.
Some of the Folktronica nights definitely head into that territory, and one of the forums that I'm on quite a lot, the one track that's been talked about quite a lot recently is a track by Nine Inch Nails called Hurt, sung by Johnny Cash. And there's a link up for anybody who's interested on Sacred Cows for this, for the video. So I think also maybe a little bit of conceptual baggage from your side there in terms of the kind of people who go out to... I'm not saying... Again, I'm not in the mainstream of house stuff. I'm on the more outside, but...
There's no doubt that Johnny Cash's reputation was resurrected over the last few years before his death with his American recordings by that famous producer whose name I forget. And quite rightly so, I think the music that he did in those last few years deserves acclaim, even if he did spend many years of his career in drug-induced sort of going through the motions. It's a voice that only comes along occasionally.
Indeed, indeed. Well, and I'm going to break the script slightly here, because we've been through all of the tracks, and I realise, and I mean anybody who's listened will know that really you were trying to sum up the whole of that whole period.
The
history and Divine Light Pushing in the West, yeah, indeed. I'm now going to throw it slightly off and bring it back to the more general concept of that. If you had to pick one track, and I know I'm throwing this at you because we haven't talked about it, one track in your life to sum up your life, not about Divine Light Mission in the West, but your life, what track would you choose, if that's feasible to answer at such short notice?
Totally unfeasible. But however, there is a track that just springs to my mind, because it's called My Life, and it's by a singer called Iris Dement, who I consider to be one of the great modern songwriter singers, though once again in a genre that will keep her completely out of a mass audience. The song is called My Life, and it's the words go something like, "My life don't mean nothing," you know, but you have to hear her sing it to get an understanding for it. I'm not going to go on with it.
Right, no, I'm going to check that out. The name doesn't mean anything to me, so I'll definitely check that out. Well, and just to finish off the Desert Island disc, you've got to choose a book.
One book.
Yeah, one book that you're allowed to have with you on the island.
The Encyclopedia Britannica.
Right, okay. And a luxury item.
What, do we have electricity?
Well, I cheated on that one and had a solar-powered computer, so
if there was one luxury item that I needed on a desert island, I would choose a high-powered rifle. Right, and I've never shot a gun in my life, but if I'm going to go out there on this desert island, I'm going to do whatever I can to stay alive as long as I can.
Right.
It obviously means hunting and killing, so hey, that's what I'm going to take.
Indeed. Okay, well, that's a novel approach to it. And thanks ever so much for coming on the show, Paddy, and thanks especially for being the first ex-premier who put themselves forward for the show without me, right, pushing and asking. And, well, yeah, just thanks for coming on.
All the best, Hamzen.
And see you, everybody. I think, we've definitely got somebody booked for next week, surprise guest, and catch you all then. Bye.